الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض، ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم بارك لي أمتي في بكورها، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. علماء اكرام، elders and dear brothers, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has once again given us an opportunity to congregate on this Mubarak day of Jum'ah and to discuss matters that will lead us to our ultimate success, and this is the ultimate success in the Akhirah, inshaAllah. Most of our conversations today and most of our chit-chats over various platforms and functions center around this topic of the rising inflation, the unstable economy, the rising cost of living. And rightly so, we are living in a challenging time, a time where we haven't seen commodities costing the price that they do cost today. And it is truly a challenging time on everyone. And it is only a duty of a Muslim to also strategize and to also put plans into action and to find solutions on how to navigate through these difficult times. And alhamdulillah, we do hear these conversations with regards to how we need to cut down on certain expenditures, how we need to cut down on our luxuries, how we need to make those less few trips so that, you know, the petrol in our tanks can last us longer. And often we forget that together with these material preparations, there is a spiritual preparation that has far-reaching consequences and that will have far-reaching benefit to us. It's often that we neglect this. And we have a beautiful concept in our deen, this concept of barakah. You know, this concept of barakah is always on our tongues. We always hear people saying there's no barakah in time, there is no barakah in my wealth, there's no barakah in my home. So we are aware of this concept of barakah, but we are unaware about the significance of this entity called barakah. It's a deeply entrenched entity in our deen, such that lots of the du'as that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us has been with regards to this barakah. Just a simple du'a before we eat, Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. When people are getting married, we again implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower them with barakah. So there's lots of instances we see that this barakah is highly emphasized in the life of the Muslim. So I thought today we would share some aspects with regards to how we can draw onto this solution and this strategy that can benefit us in this challenging time. And alhamdulillah, the scholars of the past have done a wonderful job. And Allah bless them and elevate their statuses in Jannah, inshaAllah. They have looked into the Quran and the Sunnah, and they have extracted for us recipes and prescriptions on how we can draw from this barakah. What is this barakah? Commonly we would say barakah is blessings. And a lot of times we would ascribe barakah to some entity, something. And alhamdulillah, there are barakahs in certain times in the year, there's barakah in certain places. But if we look deeply into this entity of barakah, barakah is a divine entity. It's a spiritual entity that cannot be measured on a material scale. And this divine entity, what this divine entity does is that it brings utility and quality to a commodity. It brings utility and quality to anything that it occurs in. In fact, there was a scholar many centuries ago who beautifully described it. And he says, what is barakah? Barakah is an divine entity. When it occurs in something little, it increases it. When this entity occurs in something that is a lot, it benefits it. And the greatest fruit of all this barakah is when this barakah is used in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So barakah not necessarily means having extra money in your hand. Barakah does not mean having extra time. Barakah can also very significantly means a spiritual energy that can take this 100 rand that you have in your pocket and give you such satisfaction that 1,000 rand may not bring. An hour full of barakah may achieve you such things that maybe days on end may not achieve. And we see this in the lives of successful people. We see this in the lives of our successful predecessors. And we currently see it in the lives of those people who have extracted from this barakah. So looking into the lives, into the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and looking into the Quran, scholars have extracted a few prescriptions. And the top of this prescription is adopting this concept of taqwa. If we want to draw from this treasure of barakah, we want this divine energy to enter into our time, into our livelihood, into our homes, into our food, we need to adopt this entity of taqwa. Now, what is taqwa? Literally, taqwa comes from the Arabic word waqa yaqi, is to put up a barrier, put up a shield between oneself and something else. Literally meaning to put a barrier between us and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where do we get this, that barakah is obtained from adopting taqwa? And then we turn to the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That if only the people of the town believed and they adopted taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have opened up. He would have opened up the skies and the earth for them. Meaning, Mufti Shafi Sahib in his Ma'rif al-Quran mentions he would have opened up of every goodness for them, opulence, if they adopted this concept of taqwa. Imam Bayhaqi, rahimahullah, in his collection, he mentioned the hadith with regards to a person who came up to Abu Huraira radiallahu an, and he mentioned to him, O Abu Huraira radiallahu an, what is taqwa? So Abu Huraira radiallahu an looked at him and he said to this gentleman, have you walked down a thorny path? So the man replied, yes. So Abu Huraira radiallahu an then asked him, what do you do when you walk down a thorny path? So the man replied, I will try and avoid the thorns, and I will avoid the thorns pricking me. Then Abu Huraira radiallahu an replied, this is taqwa. Taqwa is as we're navigating through our lives, we try and avoid those things that earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They earn the displeasure of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is taqwa. And this is a continuous feature in the life of a Muslim, that he's continuously aware that he must not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is by far the greatest treasure we have to tap into this entity of barakah. This is about the best tool we have to access this barakah. If we look at it, it's displayed in the life of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. And barakah doesn't not necessarily mean we have increased money in our pocket, maybe we have this extra home. Barakah, again as mentioned before, is a concept of increased utility, increased quality. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he adopted taqwa in the home of the ruler of Egypt, when he was seduced by the woman of the house, he adopted taqwa. And because of his adoption of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him to the treasurer of Egypt. If we looked at another incident in the time of Umar radiallahu an, there was a lady and her daughter who were selling milk. And the mother said to the daughter, why don't we add some water to the milk so that we could have more milk to sell and obviously an increased revenue. And this girl replied, out of the fear of Allah, out of the taqwa, out of her istihzar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we cannot do this. And it so happened that Umar radiallahu anhu overheard this conversation. And he got this girl married to his son. And this was the form of barakah for this girl in her life. And the story goes on the progeny that came from that union. So this is taqwa. This is a very strong tool we have in the hand of a Muslim to draw from this treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this challenging time. How do we develop this taqwa is a topic for another discussion. But one of the simple ways to do this is it requires a continuous and conscious exercise on developing this concept of taqwa, this concept of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us, the easiest way would be is to spend time with those people who have inculcated this element of taqwa in their lives. It will make it easier for us to imbibe this quality, inshallah. We look again into the Quran, the Sunnah, we find another tool that we can draw on from this treasure of barakah. And this is tawakkul. We often hear people saying, put your tawakkul in Allah, things are bad. You know, we must put our tawakkul in Allah. What is this concept of tawakkul? Tawakkul means to put reliance, to put your complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tawakkul. And where do we get this concept that tawakkul will bring us this barakah in our lives? We see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. That whoever puts his tawakkul, his reliance, his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will suffice him. You know, it is as if there's an option in this. There's no option for us. The one who provides raziq, the one who's created, the one who's power of everything, he is the one we want to put our trust and faith in. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have trust in me, I will suffice for you. Again, beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealing with this aspect of tawakkul, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لو أنكم تتوكلتم على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانة. Beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if only you had the reliance and the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reliance and the trust that the birds have, they leave their nest early in the morning empty bellied and they return in the evening with their bellies full, then Allah will provide for you. This is the aspect that we need to inculcate in our lives, is that there's an effort we need to put in. The birds leave their nest, they go out, they're not sitting in their nest and hoping the worms would fall in the nest. We go out, we search for our rozi, we search for our rizq, we excel in whatever we do. We are not an ummah who does things half measures. We put our full effort to the wheel. But the greatest concept that we have and that is engulfing the world in depression today is that we leave our outcome in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we have the ability to control something, we can control it. The outcome of our actions, we have no control of. We are so fortunate we have this concept. It's the cure for the problems of the dunya today with regards to anxiety, with regards to future planning, with regards to depression. What are people worried about? People are worried about their future. An entity that they have no control over. And this aspect of tawakkul helps to dispel this entity from our lives. We do what we have to do, but have firm yaqeen that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide for us is best for us, because He's al-Raziq, He's al-Khaliq, He's al-Ghani. He is the one who possesses the treasures. He is the one who will sustain us. He is the one who will put barakah in our sustenance. Then we move on to another aspect that will help us draw this barakah from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this concept of maintaining family ties. Silatul Rahim. We get this from the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَيَّبْسُطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ أَوْ يُؤْسَأَ لَهُ fi atharihi falyasil rahimahu. That whoever it pleases him that his provisions be expanded and that his life is made longer, then he should keep his family ties. He should maintain good relationships with his family members. And often the first thing that goes to our minds when we mention this, and this is mentioned over and over, this concept of maintaining family ties, we think about the family member that we haven't maintained connection with for a long time. Maybe somebody who's living on the other part of the country or in the other part of the world that we haven't made a phone call to. No, brothers, this family relation starts with the people most closest to us. First in line to our relationship is our parents. We have to look into our lives and see what connection do we have with our parents? What time have we spent to our parents? What duties we owe them and how much have we fulfilled their duties? The next in line would be our spouses, then our children, then our siblings. And then the list goes on, those people who we have duties towards, those people who are our family members, and those people who, if they make dua for us, when their hearts are made happy, those duas reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another way we can draw from this barakah, draw from this treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, we live in a day and age where everything has lost its barakah, as we say. And even in this aspect of maintaining our family ties, we've lost the whole concept. With the social media platform and the WhatsApp groups that we form, so-called family groups, these have led to more destruction to our families than have brought muhabbah and have brought unity to our families. We have to seriously think, are these elements that are bringing us barakah or are they destroying our barakah? On one side we have financial issues, we have the escalating cost of living, and on the other hand we are destroying our barakah. We surely will have problems in our lives. So these platforms that we have created, alhamdulillah, they have good and bad in them. These family groups have brought a lot of families together. But in recent times, we all are aware of, lots of arguments take place. People's opinions are being voiced, and very often, family members are being detached from each other, purely based on a simple WhatsApp digital platform. We have even lost the entity of physically visiting people. So alhamdulillah, I'm not saying that this social media has no benefits. It has a lot of benefits in terms of keeping contact with people. Often we don't get to see somebody on the other side of the world, but just sending them a message. Sometimes someone is sick, we send them a dua on this platform. It makes a world of a difference. But how we use it is very important. The next aspect, and alhamdulillah, our ulama and the predecessors and the scholars of the past have made a lengthy list on how we can draw from the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've just chosen to touch on a few. The next entity that we look at and that our scholars have brought to our attention is this concept of using our early morning profitably. It's another aspect that we are lacking in. It's another aspect that we don't put too much emphasis on. The world is running away with this concept. There's books being written on how beneficial it is to start your day early. You know, we've got life coaches making it the cornerstone of their teaching about starting your day early, beginning your task early. But this has been the teaching of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his beloved Sahabi radiallahu an, Sakhar al-Ghamiri radiallahu an, says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. O Allah, bless my ummah in its early morning. This aspect we have to really reflect on. How much of our early mornings we are misusing, and we are losing the barakah. The Rasul of Allah, the most truthful person that ever walked the face of this earth, has made this dua. And are we depriving ourselves of the dua of this morning? We should actually make it a point that we should be part of this dua. We should do our activities in the morning so that we can gain from this dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We see tons of examples in our previous pious predecessors. When we look at their lives, their lives' standout feature was they started their day early in the morning. They accomplished most of their tasks early in the morning. And we don't have to look in the past, we look today also. The pious of today and the successful people of today, even the entrepreneurs of today, are talking about starting your day early and accomplishing most of your tasks early in the morning. You're planning in every bit of that in the morning. But as with everything, I always mention that when we look through for solutions and strategies, we should not only use the lens of our physical eye, we should use the lens of our spiritual eye, and look at what our deen has to tell us. And one of the things that we should inculcate in our mornings, obviously we are so fortunate, Allah has made the Fajr Salah, so that we have to wake up in the morning. We should try not to sleep after the Fajr Salah. We should try and inculcate in ourselves this habit of reciting Quran in the morning. The Quran is the fountain of barakah. Allah says that kitabun anzalnahu mubarakun, that this book is full of barakah. We should be reading Quran before anything else in the morning, so that we can draw from barakah early in the morning. In fact, there's a hadith, something to this effect, that Imam Darimi brings with regards to reading Surah Yasin in the morning, that person who recites Surah Yasin in the morning, then his needs for the day will be fulfilled. So simple recipes, as we would say in my language, simple prescriptions we can implement our lives. We will help ourselves out of these challenging and negotiating these challenging economic times. The list goes on. And again, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing this ummah with scholars who have done great work with regards to extracting from the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very important concept is the concept of charity. And where we get this from again is from the Quran Majeed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. That who is there to give Allah a loan? Allah is not in need of our loan. Allah is saying, who is there in need? Who is there who will give Allah a loan so that Allah may multiply it manyfold? اللَّهُ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. That Allah may multiply it in return many folds. And Allah is the one who, He constricts, He holds back. And Allah is the one who expands for whom He soever wishes. So we should tap into this, aspect of giving in the part of Allah, so that we may be remunerated multifold. Multifold in Allah's khazana is unimaginable. In fact, Allah also says in the Quran, Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashra amthaliha. Minimum we give one, we will get 10. We know this concept. It's a tried and tested recipe. We see it in people around us. We should also indulge in it. A little charity daily will take us a long way. My time is about expired. The list of these tools that we can implement in our lives to draw from the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a long list. But even if we implement the few that we've mentioned today, I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives me tawfiq and give us all tawfiq, that we may draw from this treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we may not suffer the anxiety, the worry, the depression that plagues many people who are confronted with challenging times, with the rising escalation in fuel price, with the rise and escalating in commodity prices, and the worries that afflict mankind today. So just to summarize, inshallah, I like to recap, what can we do to draw this barakah? The first thing we mentioned was to adopt taqwa of Allah, to become pious, to become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every one of our transactions, in our dealings, in whatever field of life we are in, always have the presence of Allah in mind. Secondly, we spoke about the concept of tawakkul, putting our total reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the concept that we have no control over our future and we rather leave it into the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most well equipped to attend to our future. And thirdly, we spoke about this concept of maintaining our family relationships, again, as a means of drawing from this pleasure, this barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourthly, we mentioned this concept of using our early mornings profitably. Do not let it go to waste. We also then mentioned this aspect of charity, giving charity. And that also is a means of bringing barakah in our lives. With that, I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq, that Allah helps us navigate through these difficult times. Allah put barakah in the lives, both on an individual level, on a community level, and on a world level for the ummah of Muslimin. Wa la alayna illa al-balagh. Assalamu alaykum.